Namu Myoho Rengekyo, thank you for being here. I really appreciate your participation. Starting a new Gosho, this one's called Reply to Yasaburo. Yasaburo, it's not known, or at least the background on this claims to surmise that Yasaburo is a samurai, may or may not be. He must be an educated man, a scholar of some sort, because he writes to Nietzsche and he says, look, I'm about to enter a debate with a Pure Land teacher. And I'm a follower of your doctrine of the Lotus Sutra, Myoho Rengekyo. And I want your advice. How should I approach this debate with this Pure Land teacher? So this is Nichiren's reply. It's twofold, but of course, this is interesting on the level of how do we deal with opposing schools of thought. This goes back to a video I made a couple of weeks ago on confrontations, right? So let's just get into it and see where it takes us. I suggest you begin the debate with these words, quote, although I am an ignorant layman, among the teachings I have heard, I was especially impressed by the passage in the second volume of the Lotus Sutra that reads, quote, now this threefold world is all my domain, end quote. This sutra passage means that this country of Japan is the domain of Shakyamuni Buddha. In addition to the fact that all the deities, such as Sun Goddess, Great Bodhisattva Hachiman, the Emperor Jimmu, and all the people, from the ruler of the nation on down, dwell within his realm, he is the Buddha to whom we living beings are greatly indebted for three reasons. First, he is our sovereign. Second, he is our teacher. And third, he is our father. Among all the Buddhas of the Ten Directions, only Shakyamuni Buddha is endowed with these three virtues. Therefore, even if all the people of the country of Japan were to serve Shakyamuni Buddha wholeheartedly, just as they now do Amida Buddha, if they were to place him side by side with another Buddha and treat him in the same manner, that would still be a grave error. For example, though someone were our own ruler and wise besides, if we were to shift our allegiance to the ruler of another country, for instance, if while dwelling in Japan we were to pay honor to the king of China or Koryo and slight the sovereign of Japan, could we be called persons who honor the great sovereign of this country? This is all the more true in the case of the monks of Japan, who, without exception, have shaved their heads and donned their robes as disciples of the thus come one Shakyamuni. They are not the disciples of Amida Buddha. However, monks who have no halls in their temples where Shakyamuni is enshrined or where the lotus meditation is practiced, and who have neither painted nor wooden images of Shakyamuni, nor even a copy of the Lotus Sutra, have set aside Shakyamuni Buddha, who is fully endowed with the three virtues. In each district, village, and household throughout the country, they have erected more images than there are people of Amida Buddha, who possesses not a single one of these virtues, because he's an emanation, a construct of Shakyamuni for expedient means, right? You and I know that. And they chant the name of Amida Buddha exclusively 60,000 or 80,000 times a day. Although such acts appear to be most admirable, when we view the matter in light of the Lotus Sutra, we find that these good people are guilty of offenses heavier than those of wicked men who daily commit the 10 evil acts. Evil people do not rely on any Buddha whatsoever, so they cannot be accused of disloyalty. How, moreover, if they should become good people, they might even devote themselves to the Lotus Sutra. Yet it is difficult to imagine that the people of Japan could ever turn their hearts with more seriousness and affection toward Shakyamuni Buddha than Amida Buddha, or toward the Lotus Sutra than the Nembutsu. Thus, they are all evildoers who only resemble virtuous people. And among evildoers, they are the worst of the most terrible slanderers and ichantikas, or persons of incorrigible disbelief, in all Jampudvipa. With regard to such people, Shakyamuni Buddha declared in the second volume of the Lotus Sutra, quote, "When his life comes to an end, he will enter the Avicii hell," end quote. The monks of Japan today are all men of great evil, surpassing even Devadatta or the venerable Kokalika. And because lay people revere them and make them offerings, this country is being transformed before our very eyes into the hell of incessant suffering. Which, very relevant things to say, given that Japan under the shogunate at this time was descending into a lot of civil war, civil disputes, beheadings, and threats from Mongolia, even China, just all kinds of trouble. Where countless people in their present existence, in addition to undergoing starvation, pestilence, and horrible agonies unknown in previous ages, will be attacked by a foreign power. This is due solely to the workings of deities like Brahma, Chakra, and the deities of the sun and moon, which we discussed in another video as the influences of samsara, our daily lives, right? He continues, "In all of Japan, I alone understand why such things are happening. At first, I pondered whether or not I should speak out. Yet, what was I to do? Could I turn my back on the teachings of the Buddha, who is father and mother to all living beings? Resolving to bear whatever might befall me, I began to speak out, and in these more than 20 years, I have been driven from my dwelling. My disciples have been killed, and I have been wounded, exiled twice, and finally was nearly beheaded. I spoke out solely because I had long known that the people of Japan would meet with great suffering, and I felt pity for them. Thoughtful persons should therefore realize that I have met these trials for their sake. If they were people who understood their obligations or who were capable of reason, then out of two blows that fall on me, they would receive one in my stead. But far from it, rather, they arouse hatred toward me, which is something I cannot understand. And lay people, not having heard the truth, either drive me from my dwelling place or hate my disciples. It is beyond comprehension. For example, even if unwittingly we mistook our parents for enemies and revile or struck and killed them, how could we avoid the guilt of that offense? These people failing to recognize their own rudeness seem to think that I am rude. They are like a jealous woman with furious eyes who, unaware that when she glares at a courtesan, her own expression is disagreeable, instead complains that the courtesan's gaze is frightening. She's being frightened by you, right? Explain that these things have happened solely because the ruler has failed to inquire about Buddhist doctrines. And that the reason no inquiry has been made is that the people of this country are guilty of so many offenses that their evil karma has destined them unfailingly to be attacked by a foreign country in this lifetime and fall into the hell of incessant suffering in future. And please add something along these lines. Quote, "I believe this because it is clearly recorded in the sutras. Even though you may attack and threaten insignificant persons like ourselves or drive us from our homes, in the end you will never get away with it. The resolve of this monk is such that it is most unlikely that even the sun goddess or great Bodhisattva Hachiman can make him obey, let alone ordinary persons. That is why we hear that he has never quailed, even in the face of repeated persecutions, but has instead become all the more firmly determined. Now, if that monk objects, this debater, this true word monk, if he objects to all of this, then respond by asking if what you have just said is a distorted view. Ask him whether or not the Lotus Sutra contains a passage stating that Shakyamuni Buddha is our parent, our teacher, and our sovereign. Is he going to deny that? If he answers that it does, demand to know if a passage exists stating that Amida Buddha is his parent, sovereign, and teacher. Yes or no? If he replies that such a sutra passage exists, insist on knowing whether or not he has two fathers. But if he says that no such passage exists, then demand to know, having abandoned his parent, how he could treat another person well. In addition, you should assert that the Lotus Sutra in no way resembles the other sutras, quoting the passage, quote, "In these more than 40 years, I have not revealed the truth," end quote. If he attempts to cite the passage, quote, "She will immediately go to the world of peace and delight," quote, end quote, then demand to know if he admits that he is at a loss to reply to your question. If he admits this, then you should further explain the meaning of this passage. You must be firmly resolved. Do not begrudge your fife. Do not think of your wife and children. And do not depend on others. You must simply make up your mind. Look at the world this year as a mirror. The reason that you have survived until now, when so many have died, was so that you could meet with this affair. That's a powerful way to look at this challenge, isn't it? That this challenge, he should have no fear of it, because everything he's lived so far has been in preparation for this moment. So live up to it, is what Nichiren is telling him. Be resolved. You know the truth. This is where you will cross the Yuji River. This is from a story, obviously. This is where you will find, you will ford the Seta. This will determine whether you win honor or disgrace your name. This is what is meant when it is said that it is difficult to be born as a human being and that it is difficult to believe in the Lotus Sutra. You should meditate intently that Shakyamuni, many treasures, and the Buddhas of the Ten Directions will all gather and take possession of your body to assist you. That kind of confidence. If you happen to be summoned before the steward, you should first explain all of this thoroughly. With my deep respect, Nichiren. So, pretty much going into battle with words, right? Yeah, the passage that the true word, what Nichiren was saying, the true word monk might resort to that she is about to enter the world of peace and delight. This passage means that a woman who embraces the Lotus Sutra at death attain immediate rebirth in the world of peace and delight, or Amida's pure land. The Shonen anticipates that Yasuboro's opponent may quote this passage in an attempt to justify his worship of Amida. By citing it in this context, however, he will be demonstrating that he in fact does regard another Buddha as equal to Shakyamuni, having persuaded him to acknowledge that error, Yasuburo should further explain the meaning of the passage. In other words, that it is not a rationale for worshiping Amida, but rather expresses the great rewards of the Lotus Sutra. See, yeah, it's important to understand that Amida, the pure land, is a land that is a facile description of a perceptive reality, that when you awaken your Buddha clarity, you will be in a Buddha land or a pure land. But that pure land is your realization of Buddha, not Amida's pure land. That's a story given about the experience of awakening. But the awakening isn't attributed to Amida. The awakening is your invocation of your Buddha nature. Amida is just a construct to we externalize everything. And so this story being written 3,000 years ago, or based on a sermon that's 2,700, blah, 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 years old, just 3,000 rounding, in Shakyamuni's time. So Shakyamuni gave this sermon, and he used the personages of other people very often throughout all of his stories in order to get people to fantasize a truth. And that's how we work, isn't it? We write stories in order to explore concepts and ideals within our individual lives. Right? So take falling in love. We have stories of Romeo and Juliet, but when you fall in love, you don't immediately credit Romeo or Juliet for your falling in love. That's just a story exploring the depth of feelings that one might experience falling in love. And this is the same error that these schools are doing, following these other provisional, what are the other words we use all the time? The emanations of, in other words, these are imaginary characters, placeholders for ideologies and thought experiments that we make, because Buddhism is a mental exploration, right? Attitude, intent, it's everything in Buddhism. So here he is giving him advice on staying central to what Buddhism is about instead of getting lost in these little tangents and then creating a false teaching. Right? All right, so that's it for that. Yeah, that was pretty short. The next one is the real aspect of Gohanzen, and I'm sure we're going to run into Namo Myo Renge Kyo again, but that should be a really good, a really strong Gosho. I will leave that for the next video. Thank you so much for participating and being here. Please take care of your health. Download these videos as podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Look for The Buddhahood Podcast, just like it is on the placards at the beginning and end of this video. And enjoy your practice. Milk it for everything you can get out of it. It's yours. Go for it. I sure appreciate your being here, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Bye.